Ramadan Reflections, Day 30, Aisha bint Abu Bakr and Hafsa bint Umar, plotting against the Prophet.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today being the 30th day of the month of Ramadan for some people around the world, for the year 2023, 1444 in the Islamic calendar, we conclude our Ramadan Reflections series for 2023 with a final passage from the Quran. For others, it may be the month of Shawwal, but whatever your responsibility is to Allah, that's what we follow. Now, in any case, we're going to be concluding today our Ramadan series. And in the passage which I've chosen for today, Allah addresses the destructive actions which two of the wives of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, enacted against their husband and the final messenger and prophet of Allah. Actually, in the collection of verses which I want to review today from Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, there's going to be a few things going on, traits of women that we are not expected to follow. Now, obviously, this series is not like the other women in the Quran, and so we have to look at all kinds of women in the Quran. Women today we're going to be looking at are women that we're not expected to look up to or take as our role models in any aspect of our lives. Contrary to the previous verses where we reviewed great women like Maryam, like Asiya, like the daughters of Prophet Shu'aib, and of course the greatest woman to ever walk on this earth, Fatima al-Zahra, may God's peace and blessings be upon her for infinity. And so today I want to first off turn our attention to Surah At-Tahrim, chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll move on to the second part of our discussion. But in this passage of verses, Allah says the following to the Prophet. O Prophet, why do you forbid yourself what Allah has made lawful to you? You seek to please your wives, Aisha and Hafsa, and Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate. Allah has already decreed for you on the breaking of your oaths. Allah is your guardian, and He is the all-knowing, the all-wise. Now, what did the Prophet make haram on him? That he promised two of his wives, Aisha and Hafsa, that he would not indulge in it again, that Allah had to address it in this way, in this verse. Well, I simply can't go into the entire hadith that Sunni scholars have narrated, such as in the book Sahih of Al-Bukhari, but I'll leave the link in the description of this video if you want to go into more details. However, do let me say this, give you a kind of a Coles note summary of the event, what happened, why did Allah reveal this passage reprimanding Aisha and Hafsa. So for Aisha herself actually narrates the hadith that she knew that her husband, the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, liked sweets and he liked honey. One day Hafsa, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, she was spending time with the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. And to this, Aisha says she became jealous. She also found out that there was another woman in the family of Hafsa that had sent some honey as a gift with a drink that the Prophet liked. So upon hearing all of this and the Prophet spending too much time with Hafsa, Aisha says to herself, and she herself quotes this in the hadith, she says, by Allah, I'm going to contrive a plot against the Prophet, against my husband. She's going to plan against the Prophet of Allah. Can you believe this, brothers and sisters? Like, can't make this up. This is the Quran. Now again, it's a lengthy event. What ends up happening is Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, and Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, they plot against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, that the next time that he had that drink of honey, they would tell him that your breath smells very bad, you stink, and that you should stop that drink that your other wife is making for you. The first thing that we see, brothers and sisters, is the plot by Aisha, hatched by Aisha and supported by Hafsa, to insult and mock the Prophet of Allah. Definitely not the actions of a woman that loves her husband, especially when her husband happens to be the final messenger. You know, people draw caricatures and mock the Prophet and the world goes crazy. But here the wives of the Prophet mock him, that your breath stinks, and they lie, and the world is silent. You know, it's strange that in some of the reports that I've seen in non-Shia sources, rather than pointing the finger at Aisha and Hafsa for their plots against the Prophet, as they themselves say, hadith and scholars actually fault the Prophet for taking an oath and then later having to break it. So why turn the tables? Or see how they're turning the tables and questioning the immaculate character of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, simply because they cannot see themselves reprimanding and castigating Aisha and Hafsa. They're above reproach. They're untouchable. But it doesn't then end there, brothers and sisters. No, the Quran continues to narrate the plots against Rasulullah that Aisha and Hafsa would hatch against him. And so in chapter 66, again, Surah At-Tahrim, verses 3, 4, and 5, the situation becomes much worse. Could it get worse than that? But yet it does. And Allah gives us information of the plots of these two women that makes one wonder about their level of Islam and their level of testimony to their husband being the final messenger of Allah and their belief in wahi and revelation from Allah. I sincerely, hand on heart, say I don't know if they believed in any of these three things. What does Quran say from verse 3 onwards? It so happened that the Prophet confided something, a secret, to one of his wives, Hafsa bint Umar. And when she divulged it to another of his wives, Aisha bint Abu Bakr, and Allah acquainted him of it, he, the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, made known part of it to his wife, and he kept another part of it to himself. And when he, the Prophet, informed her, meaning Hafsa bint Umar, of it, she asked him, "Who has told you this?" He, the Prophet, replied, "He informed me, who is the all-knowing, the all-aware." If you too, wives of the Prophet, Aisha and Hafsa, turn to Allah in repentance, then that is indeed what you should do. For the hearts of both of you swerved from what is right. But if you back each other up against him, against Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, be mindful that Allah himself is his guardian, and that Jibreel and the righteous ones among the believers and all the angels besides them are his helpers. It may happen that his Lord, if he should divorce you, O wives of the Prophet, namely Aisha and Hafsa, that he would give him in your place wives better than you, submissive to Allah, Muslimat, true in faith, Mu'mina, devout in obedience to Allah, penitent, dedicated to worship and fasting, widows or virgins. Now, brothers and sisters, what was the secret that the Prophet told? Well, you know what? Really, that's not our topic of discussion, and it really would detract from our main theme of women in the Quran. And so I don't want to delve into what was that secret the Prophet told one of the wives that they were not supposed to tell to the other. And for that reason, I'm going to turn back to these two women, because again, that is our theme in the Quran. So we're going to look at Aisha and Hafsa in these three verses. Now, to sum up this very sorrowful event in which these two wives of the Prophet, may God bless him and his family, ganged up on him. Again, you can go and read the commentary of this chapter. You can listen to lectures. You can ask scholars what the verses mean. But to sum it up for you is that the Prophet told one of his wives a secret. And as you and I know, when you tell somebody a secret, it must remain that, a secret, especially between husband and wife. You don't go and tell other people secrets your husband tells you. The wife that was told this secret, the news, was Hafsa. And she made it known to the co-conspirator, her co-wife, Aisha bint Abu Bakr. When the Prophet confronted her, now look at this, when the Prophet confronted her and asked her about what she had done, she tried to deny it, tried to play the innocent card. But then she finally conceded that she had indeed broke the promise of the Prophet and divulged the secret. And when the Prophet was asked by this wife, "Who told you that I told her?" He replied, "Allah." You know, it's that same Allah that provides our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, with knowledge of the unseen realm when he needs it, when he is required to have it, when he can see into the future. It's the same Allah that takes our Prophet on the Mi'raj, from Mecca to occupied Palestine, up into the heavens, into another realm. The same Allah that gives our Prophet superhuman powers and abilities where he can do miracles. That same Prophet that does all of these and many more things that normal human beings cannot do. And his wife has the audacity to say, "Who told you?" Come on, man. A five-year-old child knows that the Prophet receives information from God. Allah then goes on to remind these two wives, Aisha and Hafsa, that if Allah wanted, he could divorce them on behalf of the Prophet. Now, this in itself should be a cause of concern, brothers and sisters. It's one thing if your husband divorces you, but if Allah divorces you on behalf of your husband, you know you're in hot water. But then Allah does something unique. He lists six qualities which the Prophet, Allah tells the Prophet, you could find in other wives. Perhaps signaling that Aisha and Hafsa did not have these qualities. Just look at the verse, go back to the Arabic and English. What are the six qualities? Which are qualities of the ideal wife, the ideal woman in Islam? Submissive to God, true in faith, devout in obedience to Allah, penitent in acting tawbah, repentance, turning back to God, dedicated to worshiping God, fasting, not just not eating and drinking, but engaging in ensuring that we, all of the things which invalidate a fast and the spiritual level of fasting are maintained. Did these two wives, Aisha and Hafsa, have these qualities? Let me ask you. If so, why would Allah word this verse as He did? Think about it, read the verse, go over the commentaries, and come to your own conclusion. These are all things for you to think about, brothers and sisters, to delve into the realities of the Quran. This is what we're trying to do in this Ramadan reflection series that we've been doing for the last 9 years, and God willing, will continue until we leave this world. Now, in short, you know, I'm going to conclude because I want to just wrap it up right now. But, you know, this last month of Ramadan, we've done this review. Surah Tahrim has much more that we can talk about, obviously. We have done a 15-night lecture series on Surah Tahrim. So I'm going to put the link in the description and also going to be above my head, a shortcut to the series, which is on YouTube. So you can review those. Because I'm already over time, however, I'm going to conclude and remind the viewers that this last session is perhaps one of the most difficult to research and present about. You know, we never want to talk bad about people. However, Allah has given us this cue and go ahead, and Allah has really done the work for us. All I'm doing is presenting the facts to you as they are. I'm just giving you what Allah has said. You know, and that, as we say in English, don't shoot the messenger. If you have a problem with the messenger, go straight. If you have a problem with the message, go straight to the messenger. I do want to mention one point before I conclude, and I didn't touch upon this in the commentary just because of time, but look at how Allah ends the passage. He says that if you wives of the Prophet continue in your ways, then know that Allah is the guardian of the Prophet. Allah will protect the messenger. Jibra'il will protect him. The righteous people from amongst the believers, which is, according to the commentaries, is a reference to Imam Ali, peace be upon him. And all of the angels will be the helpers of the Prophet of Islam. May Allah bless him and his family. Now, that in itself, brothers and sisters, should be a point to think about. Allah is telling these women, Aisha and Hafsa, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the daughter of Umar ibn al-Khattab, that if you want to continue in your ways, go ahead. But you know what? Allah is there to defend the Prophet. Angel Jibra'il will be there to defend the Prophet. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, will be there to defend the Prophet. And all of the angels will be there to defend the Prophet. So you do what you want. You plan, you call the Prophet, that he has nasty breath. You make fun of him. You plot against him. You insult him. You divulge secrets you're not supposed to do. You question his revelation he gets. You question Allah. You question everything. Allah has the back of the Prophet. Allah will support the messenger of Allah. That's all I can say, brothers and sisters. And I really need to end it here. And I apologize for going over time. I conclude today's Ramadan reflections. And I conclude this year's Ramadan reflections for 2023. I will have a video. We will have a video out tomorrow to celebrate the first day of Shawwal, Eid al-Fitr. So please do come back tomorrow for our conclusion. I know you'll be busy praying that Salatul Eid and eating cake and sweets and celebrating with your family and friends and community. But do take a few moments tomorrow to listen to our final concluding message. Until then, Eid Mubarak to all of you. May Allah accept your fasting, your prayers, your supplications, your charity, your devotion to the Quran this Ramadan, your maintaining ties or establishing ties with family and friends, and all the good that you've done in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah allow all of us to see next year's month of Ramadan. And I hope you will join us again next year in the month of Ramadan, where we will be celebrating our 10th season of Ramadan Reflections. And with all of your support and assistance and positive comments, inshallah, we will continue in this fashion every month of Ramadan, as long as God gives us life. Eidukum Mubarak. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.